getting cash converters. It wasn't me. Well, I have a story I would like to tell you. And for the story, I need some help. Brayden, I see that hand. Thank you. And Ashley, thank you for that not so subtle. Okay, now before we begin, I would like to point out that the story is purely fiction. So everyone, what is the story? Which means what? I have made it up. It is not real. So, once upon a time in a land far, far away, not quite Narnia, we'll say over in Eastern Europe somewhere, like, I don't know, Ukraine, perhaps, where you guys are going. Now, Ukraine isn't a very rich country, correct? And here we have Olga. Her name is Olga, yes. And over here we have Boris. Ukrainian accent, Russian accent even. Yes. Okay. And Boris and Olga see each other working in a beet farm one day. They're just picking beets. I don't know how. They're picking beets. And they see each other. And they're like, oh, the sun is so... Why am I doing an Indian accent? I don't know. And they're like, oh, the sun is so hot. I need some pierogies. Yes. And Boris happens to see Olga. And he's like, oh my goodness. She is beautiful. Wow. He's like, she is beautiful. I must marry her. It doesn't matter. Just, and he's like, we will go elope. I know it. So he runs over, proposes to her. She says yes. And they go off together, and time passes, and they have a farm, and they till it. They're barely surviving, and all of a sudden one day, the stork blesses them with a kid. And they name her Svetlana. Svetlana. And guess what? Svetlana didn't come alone. She also brought her twin brother. Give me a Russian name here. Yaromir Yager. Right. And so they're now all working, and lo and behold, another child appears, and they name him Alexander Ovechkin. they were big, just right, and they're all working, and lo and behold, another child appears. Well, you know, in Ukraine they have lots of children so that they can work. And here's the thing, is that they're struggling to make ends meet, right? Struggle a little bit. They don't have a lot of money for food until all of a sudden they see this beautiful stranger come to their land. And the stranger's walking, and she tells stories, magical stories about a land over in the west. Pretend like you're telling magical stories, Zoe. Just amazing. She talks about the land of opportunity, the land where people can come with absolutely nothing, nothing. And they can make they can come with beats, apparently. And they can make lots of money. And then she goes off. She goes away. And the family, Olga and Boris, they're like, yes, yes, this is what we want. And the entire family decides, yes, let's go there, right? But here's the thing, is that they need to take a boat. And apparently one of their kids was Scottish. Don't know how that happened, but apparently. And so they're like, oh, the boat ride's so expensive. We need to save. So they start working just as hard. They start working even harder, twice as hard. And they save every penny that they have, every dime, every nickel. They just keep putting it away. Until they finally have enough, they come to the captain. Boris and Olga come to the captain. They're like, we want, how many people are in your family? Do you want to double count just to make sure you didn't leave out a kid? Okay, there's six. Good. They're like, we want six tickets over to this great country, which will remain nameless. This great country. And I'm a wise, generous captain. I'm like, absolutely. Here, give me your money. Thank you. Here are your tickets. And now here's the thing, is that the family had decided that they wanted to go to the West, right? Right, family? You want to go to the West. But you have just enough money for the tickets. So you decide that you're going to save as much food as you can so that you don't need to buy food on the boat. So you guys go to the beet farm. You go to the cracker farm. And you go to the cheese farm. And they take as much food as they can, and they take it with them. Apparently, they're going shopping on the farm. And so they're on the boat now. They're on a boat with their flippy. So they get on the boat, and they have a tiny cabin. They have a tiny cabin underneath everything. And they're right underneath the ballroom. And they're like, okay. We're getting there. What you need to understand is that it's a two-week journey. It's a two-week journey by boat to get to the West. 2 weeks stuck in a cramped cabin with your family. 2 weeks. Two. And so every night they can hear the people upstairs having a dance and singing and laughing. People upstairs, help me. People upstairs, help me. Dancing and singing and clapping. And this family is like, they're just eating their crackers and their cheese. Like, okay, kids, here you go. Here's your allowance for today. Because we're saving money. We're on our way to the West, and we're saving money. Yeah. Right? Because they don't want to spend money to get food. Can you relate? Yes? You know, you're trying to save money. You don't want to spend money to buy food. The food upstairs. The food with all the food that everyone else is eating. Until finally, land is sighted. And someone yells out, land ho! Thank you. And Boris and Olga get together. And they say to each other, you know, it's the last night. They say to each other, you know, it's the last night. Why don't we splurge? Why don't we take the family out for a nice meal? So they get all dressed up, and they walk upstairs to the upper decks, and they go into the ballroom where the music is playing and people are laughing. Apparently people laugh like, woo! That's how people laugh. And they're having a great time. And the family is like, whoa. Because imagine, you guys have been stuck for 2 weeks in a cramped cabin with cheese and crackers, and that's it. And here you see steak and potatoes and ribs and fish. And pork. And ribs. And beets. And whale. I don't know. I'm running out of animals here, dude. I got nothing. And quail, even. And they're so excited because they see all this food, right? Right? And Boris happens to notice the captain. So he comes up to the captain. He's like, oh, my good sir. I need your assistance once again. I would like to pay for my family to eat this wonderful meal. How much will it cost? And the captain looks at him and goes, you want to pay to eat?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but the meal every night has been included with your ticket.
Oh.
And the family is like, I don't know, they start yelling in Russian. Wait, can we do that again? This is what Russian yelling sounds like.
Ah!
Wow. Because they realize that they missed out on everything that was theirs because they didn't understand it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you guys. You can sit down. Give them a hand. Actually, everyone was involved. Give yourselves a hand. Clap. Just kidding. Okay. Here's the deal. Yo. Here's what's up. Boris and Olga love their family, wanted to take them to the West, and they were poor. And they wanted to save as much money as they could. Now imagine you were in that situation. How would you feel knowing that you had missed out on all those delicious, scrumptious feasts every single night while you sat in a tiny, cramped cabin eating cheese? Sorry, what did you say? You would be crying, yes. You would be devastated, yes. She would be. Let's leave that for 1 second. I want to ask you a question. How many of you guys have been raised in church? Most or all of your lives? How many of you have grown up in church? How many of you have at one point or another accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How many of you... Now I want to ask you, how many of you have been told that you are saved? Or that you have been saved. What does that mean? Great. It means you're going to heaven. What else does it mean? Let me ask you this. The instant that you accepted Jesus, what happened? There was a party in heaven. Okay, hang on. I'm going to ask you for your hands. Party in heaven. Ashley, you had something. Good, which means, right, what's this huge inheritance? Everything God has, the abundant life, eternal life. What? I want to hear. Because let me tell you my story. I grew up in church. In fact, I grew up in this church, right here. This is where I grew up. I grew up in this building, right back there. That was my room. I'm just kidding. I grew up right here. And I thought that the extent of my salvation was I get to go to heaven, I get to see streets of gold, and that's about it. And until then, I'm just going to wait till Jesus comes back. Yeah! I mean, it's good that he's coming back. It's good that we get to go to heaven. But that's not the fullness of what God intended you to live in. If that's what you think Christianity is all about, my friend, you're living in the cabin on the ship. and you are missing out on the incredible life that God has for you. God is not interested in your destination, just getting you to heaven. If God was only interested in getting you to heaven, there would be only two ministries that were needed in the church. The evangelist, to save people, and the assassin, to get them to heaven. So pretty much you're like, I believe in Jesus. Pow! You go to heaven. Right? But that's true. And sometimes it's foolish for us to think like that, because what happens is that we miss out on the fullness of life that God has for us right here, right now. And I love some of the things that you said about what happened when he became a Christian. I want to expand on that a little bit. Did you know that when Jesus came, okay, why did Jesus die for you? He loves us, he saves us. Why did he need to save us? He didn't have to, but why did he? For what did he save us from? Our sin? Meaning what? The wages of death? Great. Which means? Separation from God. Right? So that's pretty horrible. That sounds pretty horrible. We're separated from God. Why did Jesus have to come and die in our place? To become sin for us? Okay. Intern, be quiet. Why did Jesus come and die for us? He's the only one that could. Why? He's the only one that's not sinful. Braden? Sorry, Braden had an incredible answer. He's like, he didn't have any of our sins, so when he came and died, all of our sin went on him, and he died with it. And Sam in the background, like a lamb. Good answer, though. But yes, that's exactly it. What happened was that Jesus came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. The Bible says that all of our works, all of our righteousness, are like filthy rags compared to the goodness and the kindness of God. So I want you to think of the best deed you could ever do, the most selfless deed, whether that's helping an old lady cross the street or taking money or taking food and feeding people who are hungry, or giving away all of your clothes, giving away all of your money, giving away everything that you own, and giving it all to the poor. The Bible says that everything that you could do was like filthy rags, meant nothing compared to the righteousness of God, which puts us in a really bad place, because we're like, shoot, I can't do anything equal to God. And so God, in his great love, in his great mercy, says, I don't want them living like this. I don't want them living in their sinful, fallen state. I'm going to save them. And he sends his son to live as us and to die as us and to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. But I have good news for you, because when Jesus died, you and I also died. And when Jesus was raised, you and I were also raised. So what that means is that what's true of Jesus is now true of you. What's true of Jesus is now true of you. That means that the righteousness of Christ and the holiness of Christ and the love that the Father had for Jesus is now given to you. That means you are now accepted. That means you are now approved. That means you are now loved just as much as Jesus was. Gah! I get so excited about this. Because I think back on my high school career. I think back when I was a kid. I think back when I was a teenager and I was growing up. And I would go into high school and I'm like, yo, everyone, I need to make everyone here like me. And I start trying to walk with some swagger. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah. I start putting my pants down around my ankles sometimes. Just kidding. I started trying to do things to fit in. I started trying to do things to make people like me. Sometimes I'd start swearing. I started hanging out with the people who are into gangs or who are into drugs or who are into gangs. I started hanging out with, I know, I just realized that. Thank you, Sophie, for pointing that out. I started doing all these things because I thought that in order for me to be accepted, in order for me to be liked, I had to make people like me. And what I didn't realize was that as soon as I accepted Jesus into my heart, as soon as I accepted Jesus into my life, the Father already said to me, he said, John, you're accepted. John, you're loved. John, you're approved. Which means that I was now free to live my life from approval instead of for approval. I was now free to live my life from love instead of for love. It means I didn't need to work for anyone's approval. It didn't matter if people liked me or not. Because the most important thing was that God liked me. God loved me. And God said that over my life and over you. I want you to realize tonight that when you became a Christian, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, when you accepted him into your life, he's not just waiting for you to get to heaven. He's waiting for you to enter into his life right here, right now, as you live. Which means that you are able to live as Christ lived. You're able to walk as Christ walked. You're able to speak as Christ spoke. You're able to be the son or the daughter of God that God saw that he created you as when the world began. And I don't know about you, but this excites me so much because I realize that I no longer need to try to be good. I no longer need to try to be holy. I no longer need to try to be righteous. Sometimes I feel like we're under so much pressure. As Christians, we become Christians and we're like, okay, I cannot swear, I cannot smoke, I cannot drink, I cannot do all these things. And we're like, I cannot do this, I cannot do this, I cannot do this, but I do need to read my Bible, I do need to pray, I do need to give money to the poor, I do need to go to church. You know what it is? It's doo-doo. Sorry, bad joke. Because what we do is that we take our previous life, the way we were living before, how we learn how to earn people's approval, how we learn how to earn people's love, and we apply it to our relationship with God. And we start trying to earn God's love and earn God's favor and earn God's kindness. And really, the Bible says that that's like filthy rags. It means nothing. It can never save you. But instead, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you on this. Is to fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus like you never have before. Fall head over heels. I can tell you, I am in love. I am madly in love with a man, and his name is Jesus. I just saw some of your faces be like, whoa. But it's true. It's true. I love Jesus with all my heart. I love him with everything that's in me. And I want to know him. I want to know him as my best friend. I want to know him as the person who's close to me. Because he said to you and he said to me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm always with you. And somehow, somewhere, this has to be more than words. This has to mean more than something that was just written in the Bible somewhere. It has to be real. Because if it's not real, I want no part of it. If it's not real, I'm the first one out. But I have good news for you. It is real. And Jesus has said to you, he has said, I love you, and I want to transform your life. I want you to know my love. I want you to know my presence. I want you to know my passion in your life. And that happened the instant you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. That happened the instant you accepted his salvation. And I don't want us to be living like that family was in the cabin on the ship without stepping into the revelation, the fullness of what God has for us. Because I guarantee you this, when you do, you will find one. You will be living life the way God meant you to live. And people will come to you saying, why are you happy? Why are you full of joy? Why are you full of hope? Why are you full of peace? How are you living the way you are living right now? What's different about you? And I've had people come up to me and say this when they know what's going on in my life. And they're like, John, how can you be living like this? Why are you happy right now? Like, your life sucks. And I'm like, you know what? My life actually isn't tied to this earth anymore. My life is tied to heaven. My life is in him. Therefore, even if I have had the worst day of my life, I'm still connected to the source of eternal life. And I know that because of that, I can outlast anything trying to come against me. I know that I can always receive his joy. I can always receive his peace. I can always receive his presence, no matter what my circumstances are. Your life, no longer depends on your circumstances. I can tell you this, even if every single person on this earth, if every single person pointed at you and said, I hate you, and walked away from you, The Bible actually says that God will still receive you, and he will always be with you. You can relate to that. I can relate to that. I think at some point, all of us can. Did you know one of my biggest fears was being rejected? One of my biggest fears in my life was that no one would like me, no one would want to hang out with me, no one, if anyone truly saw who John Shunker was, they wouldn't enjoy being around me. And I can tell you, I was in this room 5 or 6 years ago, and I was a youth back then, and there was probably about 100 people in this room. So imagine, I mean, here we're about 10 or 15 people tonight, I think. Imagine 100 people in this room. Like, it'd be pretty full, right? And youth was going on, and our leader said, okay, does anyone need prayer? And I put my hand up, and she called me up to the front, and I stood at the front. And I think I was either the only one, or there was maybe one other person that night. And you have to understand, there are 100 people in this room. I know all of them. We're all friends. We all chill. We all hang out. And my youth leader said, okay, everyone, come up, and we're going to pray for John. So I was standing in the circle of 100 people all around me praying for me, 100 of my closest friends. And I can honestly tell you, I still felt like I was on the outside of that circle looking in. I still felt like no one really knew me. No one really understood me. No one, if anyone truly saw the real John Shunker, they would still all turn away from me and walk the other way. And I can honestly tell you, I've never felt more alone in my life. Because at that moment, I was like, wow, God, I'm surrounded by 100 people who know me the best. And I still feel like no one knows me. I still felt like I was on the outside looking in. And the amazing thing is, guys, is that as a Christian, God hasn't promised that everything's going to be easy. God hasn't promised that the world's going to be okay. God hasn't promised you millions and millions of dollars. What God has promised you is that even when times are tough, he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will always walk with you, always. What he has promised you is that he has spoken love over your life, and he will never take that back. He said, I love you. And that will never change. And the one thing that I always rely on in my life, it says in 1 John 4:16, so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. And one thing I've had to teach myself is how to rely on that love. Because really, rely means to be able to lean on something, right? It's like Zoe sitting on that chair right now. She's relying on the chair to support her. And there's so many times in my life where things are just going horribly wrong, or people hate me, or people are saying things about me, or things aren't going the way I planned, that I've just had to pause and just say, God, I just choose to rely on your love right now. I just choose to receive your love again. And as I've done that, it's just taken all this weight off my shoulder, all this pressure off my shoulder, because then I don't need to earn people's approval. I don't need to work for people's love. I'm just free to be myself. And the picture I got tonight was God had given each of you a giant package, like enormous, that was gift wrapped. And God was saying, this is what you received the moment you accepted my son into your life. This is for you. There you go. You're welcome. This is for you. This is for you. And he came to each of you and he said, here is a gift. And some of us were like, oh my goodness, I got a gift. And then you didn't open it up. And some of us were like, oh my goodness, I got a gift. And you tore into the packaging, you ripped off the wrapping paper, you ripped through the packaging to find what was on the inside. And I believe God's saying tonight, some of us have grown up in the church, some of us have been raised, some of you were like born again in the womb, you know, because of how much you've been exposed to Christianity. But I just feel God saying tonight that to hear about him is not enough. But for you to actually dig into him, for you to actually say, God, if this is true, teach me what it means to be saved. Teach me what it means to live as if I'm saved. Think about this. Imagine if you never had to work again to make someone like you. Imagine if you lived your life not caring what other people think. Imagine if you went into school and you looked all your friends, all the people, all your enemies in the eye, all the people who hate you, all the people who are like, all the people who are talking about you behind your back. And what if you didn't feel the need to have to impress them or try to make them like you? What if you're just free to be you? I think that sounds incredible. And I can honestly tell you, I'm not even there. I'm learning how to live like that. But God wants to teach you how to live like that, so that you're no longer living for people. You're just living for Him, and you're just living for you. I'll tell you this. As I've learned to live like this, I've come to love myself. I can honestly say now, I love John Shunker. He's cool. I'm trying to give myself a hug. Before, when I was your age, I didn't. I didn't like myself, because I try to be so many different people with all these different cliques. With the gangster kids, I try to be gangster. With the kids who are into hardcore music and the rockers, I try to be a rocker. With the kids who are really smart, I try to be really smart. And I just felt like I was putting mask after mask after mask on my face. I didn't even know who I was anymore. Not true. Some of them are really smart. But now I'm at the place where I like myself. I'm like, I like being John Shunker. He's cool. He's a cool guy, you know? And I can say that because God said that to me. And God's saying to each one of you that you are loved, that you're accepted, that you're chosen. He's never stopped saying that. And what I want us to learn how to do is learn how to receive that and live as that. Because when we live as that and when we walk as that, our world will be changed. Our nation will be transformed. I honestly believe that. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of seeing things remain the way they are. I'm sick and tired of hearing people complain about how bad the world is, about what's wrong with the world, about what's wrong with people. I want them to see the reality of Jesus Christ in flesh and blood here. I want them to see the reality of the kingdom of heaven here in our lives. Because when people see, everyone has heaven in their hearts, whether they realize it or not. Everyone has heaven. Everyone has eternity written on their hearts. And when you start living that out, when you start living that out in your life, people will be drawn and people will be attracted to you because you will be showing them what they were made for. And when you start living like that, your friends and the people around you, your teachers, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, will want what you have, and you will want to give it to them, because you will live life the way God intended you to be living it. And that's all I want to share with you tonight. I know most of you in this room, I know you've grown up here, you've grown up in church, and sometimes it's so easy for us to just sit on the outside and look in, or just to hear sermon after sermon, or just to read our Bible without it actually coming into our hearts and changing us. And the Bible actually calls that religion. It says that's talk without power. But I want to tell you that the power of God is available for you in every second of your life to transform you, to change you, and also to transform and change the places around you, your school, your nation, your city, everything. Because 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And so I can stand up here and talk it to you all I want. It's not going to change you. But you have one encounter with the living God, and that will change your life forever. So, guys, don't be content just letting it be it. Don't be content just hearing about salvation. Don't be content with just hearing about Jesus. Get to know Him. He'll change your life. I can honestly tell you, He's the most kind person I've ever met. He's the most loving person I've ever met. He's the most wonderful person I've ever met. The most consistent person. There are times I've gone to Him and I know I've messed up. I know I've done wrong. I'm like, God, I'm sorry. God, like, you don't even need to love me right now. God's just like, John, I love you. Because I made a choice to love you. And that choice isn't dependent on your actions. I have chosen to love you. And I will be faithful to love you. And that's what God's saying to you. Is that He is faithful. He has made a choice to love you. So learn how to walk in that love. Because if you don't, you will come to the end of your life and realize that you missed out on a lifetime of love. Jesus isn't just about getting you to heaven. if he was, like I said, bring on the assassins. Bring on the ninjas. Let's go. You know? Jesus is interested in coming to you and introducing you to the Father, introducing you to the love of a lifetime, a love that will change you, a love that will transform you, a love that will heal you and protect you, and a love that will change and transform the people around you. Because that's the way he lived. And think about it, his life, we're still living out the life of Jesus right now. 2,000 years later, we're still living in his life. So think about that. The power of one life lived for God. If you do the one thing God asks you to do, it will change history. The one thing God asks you to, it will change history. And that's why I'm so excited to be here tonight and to look in your faces and to see what God's doing in you, because I know that God's going to take some of you and use you to rock nations and rock worlds and change people's lives. So how about we pray? Jesus Christ, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you that we do not have a crappy salvation. Lord, I thank you that we are not beggars. I thank you that we are not orphans, God. I thank you we never need to work or earn your love or your approval or your favor. But God, I thank you that it has freely been given to us. And Lord, I ask for a spirit of wisdom and of revelation to rest upon us, God. I ask that you would reveal to us everything that you have purchased for us at that cross. God, I ask that you would show us the riches of Christ, the riches of the treasures of Christ that have freely been given to us. Lord, I thank you that you shall meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But God, I ask that you would show us what are these riches that have been given to us. What are these riches of love and of grace and of power and of mercy and of holiness and of righteousness and of justice, God? What are these riches that have been entrusted to us? And God, I ask that every person in this room, God, I ask that we would be a people that is found worthy of carrying the riches and of carrying the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, because we say that you are so worth everything in our lives. You are worth everything and more than this world could ever offer to you. And Lord, we want to see the Lamb of God receive the rewards of his suffering. Lord, we want to be a people that walks in your presence and is led by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. Come and lead us. Come and guide us. Can I just, I just feel like Holy Spirit wants to come to you right now. Can I just ask you to hold out your hands like you're receiving a gift? And just to say, Holy Spirit, come. You can say it out loud. You can say it under your breath. But just say, Holy Spirit, come and teach me what it means to be a Christian. Come and teach me what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because he will come to you and he will start teaching you everything that you need. The Bible says that everything you need for life and for godliness has been given to you. Also says in Galatians 5:25, therefore, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And Holy Spirit wants to come and teach you how to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, because you have received a high calling in Jesus Christ. You have received a calling that goes above anything you could ever do with your life. Whether you're the President of the United States, whether you're the Prime Minister of Canada, whether you're a janitor at McDonald's, whether you're a government or a CEO or a business leader, or it doesn't matter. All of those things pale in comparison to the calling you have received in Christ Jesus. And Jesus, I just ask that we be found worthy to walk and to receive the calling that you have given to us. And we just love you. Amen.